This meeting is being recorded.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm back with my favorite guy, Michael L., to tell us the truth about things we're not hearing and things that we're not seeing and putting together the dots like nobody else can. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Thank you. Round two. Here we go, right?
Yeah, go for it. Oh my goodness. Light's on you.
All right, so let's do the share screen.
Got it.
Our usual. Am I good?
Yep.
All right, let's roll it. Wait for it. All right. I call it January 20th, part two. So excellent. I wanted to talk about COVID a little bit because there's a lot going on. And I know you I normally don't, Mel, because you've got a lot of people that cover it now.
Right.
But before I do, there's a couple things I want to talk about first from yesterday they're just kind of cool. So I want to show you a couple things. This kind of goes back to a lot of stuff that we've been talking about in terms of technology where there's a lag, right? Remember I talked about the stealth bomber that was out for 20 years. It was used before it came out into the public, right? Yeah. Guess what? I got a new one for you. You ready?
Yes.
So look at the left one. I want to talk about all three of these just for a quick moment. I want to talk about this. So this was a spy plane, you know, so we have the stealth, then it comes out. Then we have this one. Yeah, we've been using this for about 20 years, guys. And this is the new one.
Wow.
So this, by the way, if you look at the timing, this was out and operational when they announced the stealth. If you look at the time frame on that, which is kind of interesting. So again, it's just a common trend that that I've seen. And this piece here, I want to mention this just for a moment, if I could, Mel.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is one of those burials where they find a dig and they say, oh, this woman is, you know, 25,000 years old or whatever it is. She's not alive, obviously, right? But the DNA testing on this particular one, what was really interesting. So this is human, but the DNA testing shows that it's only half human. It's something else in addition to human, and it's past 25,000 years. Yeah. So remember how we talked about genetic mutation? They always talk about that kind of stuff. This is one that survived, that they actually did the DNA testing and they showed, hey, this person, this female is only half human. She was something else, but she looks, when they did a regeneration, Mel, looks exactly like a human. But the DNA testing showing other. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting. It doesn't really mean anything in particular. I just thought it's kind of in line with what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And then this last piece here is what I did mention is the Adobe now has this new technology that can tell you if any photograph is Photoshopped. So the black hats, they're screwed now because they can run a program and go, yep, you Photoshopped it. They're done. I love that. And, you know, there's some ethical implications and some issues that Adobe is going to have to kind of overcome on that. But the cool thing is if the technology is out now, we know that they've probably been using it in the past, but it is just kind of cool. I'd really like to take this, and they've done this successfully, by the way. They can go back and look at old photos, you know, from early 1900s, and they can tell if that when they're reproducing them, if they're changing anything. So,
wow, that's that could be, if somebody had the time, I'm sure some people do, to go through a lot of the propaganda media pictures we've seen over the decades and see if they're really real, because I think a lot of them are not, especially things that ran in the New York Times and other places over the decades. We know we're manipulated. So interesting.
And that's exactly what I the reason I brought that up. This is going to be interesting because the other thing is if they're going to be able to do it with photos, it's only a matter of time before they can do it with the videos, if they don't already.
I think they already have that ability.
Yeah. And there's people out there that I get a lot of emails after I say, hey guys, look at this. Hey guys, look at that. What's interesting is as soon as some of your listeners do this, they're going to look into this and they're going to say, hey Mike, I found this and this.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's really cool. So it's kind of a nice little to-do list for everybody.
Okay. Great. Cool.
All right. Couple things and we'll move on.
Great.
I want to mention this here really quick. There's a couple things that I want to mention about this, and I'm going to show you a slide, then we're going to move into COVID.
Okay.
So this U.S. Air Force general said, hey, their Stargate technology is already existing where we can transport human beings from one place to another. I don't know if you've read this article. So this just recently came out and said, oh, by the way, we have this. And originally I looked at this, I go, okay, so they're throwing us a bunch of bad Scooby snacks to try to throw us off the scent. So I always vet everything that we have. But what's interesting about this one in particular is we've already found that the gateways have already been accessed, because some of the CIA analysis of these gateway processes in there, in the CIA documents, remember, that we've talked about before, like on the consciousness and other things. There was also this one about the gateway process. But what's interesting about this CIA document was page 25 was mysteriously missing.
Ooh.
And and it had that detail. So when the Freedom of Information Act pulled this thing out, the thing came back and it goes, hey, wait a minute, guys, where's page 25? Yeah, we don't know. So this thing's been gone for like 40 years, but somebody found it. And the other thing that somebody did is they use some of this new digital technology to reproduce that page 25. Wow. But what's interesting is it talks about this, the Stargate technology, with respect to a couple of the areas that there's been a lot of work going on.
Yeah.
They suspect that some of the that is because they suspect that there's actually Stargates in these areas. And it's who has control of that has control of whatever it is that they're hiding from us. So
yeah. It's probably the folks at CERN, I'm sure, can tell us where they all are. I actually have a friend, Huna, who's been traveling around to all the Stargates. They're like all over the world, in like Ethiopia. Yeah. Places that you that have come up in the news over decades that we always go to for war. I'm pretty sure that's what's really everything that we know about the past. But yeah, no, I know somebody who's going around checking out these Stargates.
Yeah, and I'd be interesting to see what they say about that, because also in terms of the ley lines in the Earth's energy that we talked about a little bit more, and I've got some more information on that, but I'm wondering if those Stargates aren't aligned with those. Remember how we were looking at the pyramids? I showed you the American maps and all the stuff that was going on. Remember, I keep bringing those up.
Yeah, I got to put you in touch with this guy. That's what he's doing. And it's all about numbers. Like, he's not from America. It's all about numbers and gematria and all of that. You know, if you're going to open your mind, but that's exactly what he does. It's all about longitude and latitude and lining it up with like all this stuff. And that's what he talks about. It's over my head, but you don't understand it.
No, because what happens is the ley lines, there's a particular energy. And a matter of fact, what's interesting is a lot of the pyramids that they're finding are built right on top of where these energy fields are within the ley lines, and where the Earth has the most amount of like energy that comes out.
Right.
So what's really interesting is I would almost bet you that these things are there too. And they're like, oh yeah, now they're coming out. Oh yeah, we have them. So the question is, I would have just written this off as, okay, they're throwing us off track here, trying to keep us distracted. But what was interesting is I've seen this before in other documents. Now, what I am going to do is I'm going to cross-reference this to the FBI files and see what I can find, but because there's usually more, right?
Yeah.
So only two other things I want to mention too on this, and then, like I said, we'll move on. But so this Linda Moulton has been doing, I mentioned her before. She's one of those real journalists that she investigates. She's the one that, remember, started off with the mutilations, remember?
Yeah.
She's kind of... she does her homework. When she hears something, she cross-references it. I mean, she's amazing. But she mentioned something about Antarctica. And what was interesting about this particular article was her conversations about this was right about the time, remember when Obama, one of the criminals, was sending the pretend Biden down there?
Oh, yeah, Biden went to Antarctica. People don't even know that. What was he doing there?
This is around that same time, but what's interesting is they found entire structures or cities, and an archaeological team found these things right around that same time. And this thing is huge under there. It's 62 acres in size.
I've been telling people, Michael, there's something going on in Antarctica, and the puppet masters know, but you bring up Antarctica, it's like, you know, we might as well be like, I don't know. It's people just dismiss it as tinfoil hat. It's like, why would you think that there's, I always bring up that Admiral Byrd and his trip to Antarctica. That's proven that happened. And it was 50 years ago. So why? And we all know John Kerry went to Antarctica right after Hillary Clinton lost the election. And you're bringing up now, and it was Hillary Clinton and Obama that like banned, remember I sent you that article that they banned all that, a huge swath of land on Antarctica and water from anyone going on, as if they have the right to do that, I guess. But very interesting. I don't know. Anyone that's watching that knows anything, Michael and I are really sure that something very, very interesting is going on in Antarctica.
Yeah, I will say I know that there's more because I've been talking to a couple of people that have kind of divulged some information. But what's interesting is this is a hot zone, and this has been a hot zone since the 50s, like you've been saying. And it's funny how your stuff always, again, like we talk about, overlaps with my stuff. Mm-hmm. This was just kind of an interesting one. But then I want to talk about one more thing.
Cool.
Is when the COVID relief bill that Donald Trump signed, there was something that was interesting in there. It's where he was talking about the new space industry. And there was a special report that was within this COVID relief bill that talked about advanced aerial threats. And with regards to these different government agencies, where he signed this bill and he buried a bunch of money in the secret space program in that bill before he bailed out.
Right.
Well, before treason, right? So
exactly.
Right.
Before our country was captured by the enemy.
By the enemy. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting because this kind of aligns with some of the stuff that we've been talking about. And I know a lot of this is going to be coming out.
Yeah. Well, don't forget that Psaki and Biden and all them, Blinken, they wanted to end Space Force the minute they got in and they weren't allowed. So that tells you a lot
going on. Yeah, it's awesome. But all right, so let's roll. I want to do this really quick, too.
Cool.
Because I'm still getting some emails in my old email. Guys, this is my new one.
Great.
And once the next 2 days will be my last days here in Boston. I'm going to be out in the sunny Florida.
I'm so excited for you getting out of another communist, socialist communist dystopia.
I mean, they're requiring vaccine passports here for certain, grocery stores. But doesn't matter because I'm gone. But anyways,
meanwhile, just to note, if anyone doesn't know out there, Boris Johnson ended all COVID restrictions, including the passport, the vaccine mandate, masks, social distancing, overnight, 2 days ago. And nobody is really looking at this. Like, so if they're ending it completely, and they were way worse locked down than us, the UK.
They were.
Why are we still playing along? Why are the American people still playing along with this Fauci, this horrible, I don't know what's wrong with this guy, and our CDC, FDA, and the Biden administration, if Boris Johnson, who had way worse there, is suddenly like, listen, we're just going to have to live with it, just like the cold. Yeah, I get it. But why is America playing along?
This is actually what's interesting is I've kind of been watching in the background all around the world, except for here, there's huge protests.
I mean, I know, except for here. France, the problem.
Everywhere around the world, we're talking about millions of people showing up at the capitals in these countries. Millions coming in, they're protesting. And so what's happening is what you're seeing, except for here. And I agree with you, Mel, is.
Well, yeah.
They said enough's enough. We're done with this. We're out of this. But the other thing that's happening, and that's why, I don't normally get into this kind of stuff. Because you've got other people covering this. But the other thing that's happening is now with this new variant that's come around, and now that some of the new data has been coming back, the medical community has really been pushing back, and you're seeing lawsuits around the world and countries saying, hey, listen, by the way, if you want to bring your vaccine in, then you get to hold Pfizer liable for anything that happens to our people. So I know we've kind of talked about it, so it's really good. But this one, I know I know everybody's heard about this at one point. But this is a deal breaker here, Mel, because what's going to happen here is once these pages start coming out and you've got the people in the medical community that already know what to look for, as soon as this stuff comes out, this is done. I mean, literally, this is done. You've already seen at the court level in the Supreme Court saying, yep, this is all a bunch of garbage. You can't be doing this. It's against the Constitution. But more importantly, this is a game changer because I'm lecturing to you and you know, Mel, but and I'm not lecturing, right? We're talking, but this, when this stuff comes out, even if they started at the back end trying to cover this, it's not going to matter. Once the truth comes out and we see what's really going on,
right.
It's done. And what's interesting is by the way, remember when this went back in early 2020, when you and I first started talking, you remember I actually had access to the original data. Yeah. And I said, none of this makes sense. Remember we talked about it? Oh, yeah. I want to see when some of that stuff shows up here, if it shows up at all, because remember when we originally started looking this back in
it was 2019, I think. I mean, I maybe early 2020, but you already have seen. I know. But you pulled stuff way before they started hiding it, is what happened. Yeah. This was before any of this came out, that you, because of your job, you started pulling stuff that nobody else was looking at. And then a lot of it disappeared after that.
And they pulled it, the data. But even back then, when you and I were talking, I says, you know, this doesn't make sense. We knew that they bypassed the normal process, but even if you bypass it, there's still certain criteria that you have to prove, right? And you have to prove efficacy, you have to prove safety. And within the safety, there's a series of groups that statisticians and then medical doctors always review. And it was bypassed. So that mess we all know about, but the cool thing now is for everybody is now that this is here and that the Supreme Court has said, yeah, this isn't good enough at this point. You need to start dishing this stuff out. All hell is going to break loose. Like we talked about in our last session, what you're going to see.
The CEO of Pfizer said that anyone that questions the vaccine should be in prison. So I'm really looking forward to his journey to prison.
Well,
remember he said that. He said anyone questioning the vaccine or spreading misinformation about the Pfizer vaccine should be in jail. That guy said that, the CEO, you know.
I remember. And that's
going to be real not nice to him.
This, and then the other thing that this does is, you remember I showed you in our last session, I showed you the ship with all the rats jumping off, right? But what's funny there is that criteria in terms of the hit list, this is why. So I said, you already started to see everybody firing in at this, the director of the CDC, the ones that thought that they were resigning and they're going to be okay. No way. This here will be the final tipping point in terms of what's truly going on, but there's more going on. So I just want to go over it a little bit if we can. I know we kind of talk about this. So they started talking about the EMA, started talking about this, the head of biological health threats on this. So European Medical Association comes through, right? The EMA and the EMU are parts of the medical community. And what you're starting to see now is you're starting to see that they're saying, listen, we don't need these boosters. We already knew that. We already knew that the boosters are completely compromising people's immune system. And right. We've talked about this, but the European Medicines Agency is a big deal. And what I mean by that is they're like the equivalent, Mel, to the FDA. This group, they're hard hitters. They're looking at things and they don't appear to be as compromised as our groups are.
Right.
And there's some, but they're, if I can kind of put this into perspective for the EMA, when you get an FDA auditor that shows up at your doorstep, because the FDA is predominantly like manufacturing, good manufacturing, food and different things, right? Right, Mel? So they start in one area and then they kind of go into the clinical arena. So a lot of your auditors are more GMP versus GCP, which is my industry. The EMA, they're the ones that show up at your doorstep, they're normally GCP, which means clinical drugs, right? And when they start auditing you, man, they come in with their teeth and they tear through data. But what you're seeing now is across Europe is the EMA now is saying no. Enough's enough. And some of your major medical journals now, what you're seeing too, Mel, is they're also saying enough's enough. This stuff isn't working. It's not coming out. So what you're seeing, you know, when you were talking about we're the only ones left that have now been having backed down on this, this starts that, right? So this, the big piece of it here is the tipping point. This was a big deal when this thing came out. And this just came out. You know, what is it today? 10 days 20th, ago, 10 days ago. Ago. Right.
Now, so, Boris Johnson has reversed everything and he's like, and it's falling like dominoes all over the world because people are realizing the evidence is coming out that we've been talking about for 2 years and it's got to stop. now. Yeah, and the thing you said about America, it is sad. I like I said, when I left New York this time, 12 degree weather, people in line for 3 hours to get a test for something they don't even have symptoms of. For what reason, I don't know. But don't forget, the New York's captured, but the employers there are having people get tested weekly for something they don't even have symptoms of. This is all, it's now turned into a huge money-making scandal, scam, on top of everything else. But if the American people continue to play along, that's a bigger issue. And I think that whole 1-6 false flag has a lot to do with threatening the people not to dare protest like they are in the rest of the world. And for some reason, the American people are like, okay, well, you know, this is ridiculous. The American people are right now, they're playing along with their own demise, and it's really got to stop.
But what you're seeing on the background, though, this is why I wanted to talk about this too, Mel. What you're seeing in the background is, and I've been watching this, is the medical community. There was a surge of pro-vaccine originally, you know, because that's what we're used to, right? And we know that there are certain medicines, like I showed you, there are certain technologies that are for good, right? But what's happening is, since this stuff's been coming out, and I would say more over the last 6 months, and certainly the last 2 months for sure, is you saw the opposite, where you're starting to see a bunch of doctors going, well, wait a minute, this stuff doesn't make sense, you know? And so you were starting to see a push, but now what I'm seeing is, and this is a perfect example right here, Mel, is the push is now going the opposite direction. What you're seeing now in the medical community is, hey, this safety data, and you're seeing doctors starting to file lawsuits here where, hey, why are our kids dropping dead? Why are our athletes dropping dead? Why do people that have been vaccinated, and again, not to you know, talk about this a million times over, is why did we redefine the definition of a vaccine? It's because the thing didn't work.
Well, it's not a vaccine. It's a, also, don't forget, it's always been, first of all, Moderna, this is their only vaccine ever. Moderna also is right out of MIT, which isn't a surprise. A lot of these people, Gates, Epstein, Fauci, all had big stakes in Moderna, but also on their website from the very beginning, it didn't say it was a vaccine. It said it was an operating system, which is exactly what it is. It's not a vaccine. It's an operating system basically being injected into your body. And people, you know, you and I said it 2.5 years ago, it was on their website and people just didn't look. And as time goes on, they've been manipulating the definition of vaccine. Like we're stuck in the book 1984 or Brave New World. And again, it's the masses of the American people that are following along that aren't even looking at it. They're injecting their kids and not even looking at it and thinking, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Why is this happening? What is this? And that's the problem.
But the delivery system has been used in the past, but the way that they use this delivery system is what was really interesting. I'll use that word here because what was going into that, and they still have not divulged it. But the other thing that's interesting is, and most people don't realize, they're still not using the FDA approved vaccine.
I know. Because
there isn't that yet.
Nobody knows that either. And that's what I was saying to you yesterday. It's going to become an issue. The insurance companies don't have to cover any vaccine injuries or any deaths from the vaccine because you as a human are choosing to use an experimental drug. The vaccine that they approved isn't out yet in America. And the American people have no idea, and they are not willing to go past CNN and New York Times and Fauci and do their own research. Well, on the other side, they're going to be really, really, you know what? Nobody has an excuse at this point, but the facts are you're still using something that's experimental. And even the insurance companies are saying you did it at your own risk. And that's a big problem. But again, not enough people are questioning it. And it's what he's sending out test kits and masks. And they say that it's free. No, we're paying for that, first of all. And second of all, a lot of that's coming from China. And on top of that, we don't need it. We don't need them.
Yeah.
It's a total money laundering scam with the sending out the masks and the tests. First of all, those tests don't even work. So.
Well, they don't. No.
It's really sad that we're allowing this to happen in America. We the people really can stop it if we choose to. And there's just too many people playing along. I was in New Mexico. They're terrified. They're wearing two masks in where I went in New Mexico. I couldn't believe it.
It's still everywhere. You know, my favorite too, Mel, is when you get somebody driving in a car and they're by themselves and they
have. I see it all the time.
Oh my God, that drives me crazy. Or they're walking like, I told you that one time I was out in the forest preserve. I'm walking and there's a whole family. They all got masks on. They see me coming like I'm the man of death, right? And they all move across to the other side of the path because they didn't want to cross. I'm like, seriously, we're outside, right?
What kind of parents aren't doing research on how dangerous the masks are for kids? I don't get it. You know, I found out yesterday in New York City schools, not only do they have to wear their masks all day, but they're leaving open the windows while it's 12 degrees out. So all the kids are wearing their jackets and their coats and their hats and their gloves and their masks inside the classroom in New York City right now, because they think that that having the air flow is helpful. So the kids are going to get sick from, and then they're wearing a mask. So then they'll get sicker. It's so crazy.
But Mel, keep in mind that, yeah, our expectations are our parents, the parents would do their homework, right? But remember that these people have trusted these medical communities for the last 100 years, right? So the challenge is getting that truth out. Now, your listeners are way far down that path, even though you have a range of them, right? They're way down. They're past this stuff. They want to, they're saying to me, Mike, listen, I don't want to hear any more of this stuff. Let's talk about some of the other stuff that you got. And the only reason I come back to this is because there's new trends coming that I think are going to really kind of push this forward. I'm really excited. You know, I get all excited about this kind of geeky stuff, but there's more. I want to show you a couple more things really quickly.
Great. Go ahead.
Let me keep going on this. So there's a series of doctors and lawsuits around the country, and there's a series of pushback on doctors. And a couple things that have been coming through is, now this is a small one, but this is interesting. The letter's been signed by 12 scientists, medical experts, 21 peer reviews, medical practitioners coming through there, as well as 21 politicians. But what this is scientists giving cogent at low risk to children. Now, more than 30 scientists, doctors, and medical practitioners have signed a joint letter to the government's vaccine watchdog urging reassessment of the COVID rollout for these kids. Now, this is for us. We already knew all this, but what's interesting, so this is a push of a different set of doctors other than those doctors that we're familiar with, okay? So look at the date on this. This is why I wanted to bring this thing up. January 8, 2022. January 10, 2022, these are doing this. And so cities have now showing evidence and risk of myocarditis. It's heart conditions, right? And young men and boys up to 14 times higher after vaccination. So the numbers here, and you and I talked about this too, where I said, you know, there's been a lot of these heart attacks, especially with these kids. And I've been watching it, right? And so this stuff is now starting to come out a lot more in terms of the normal community, Mel, not your listeners, not the doctors that we talk to or the ones that I talk to on a regular basis. This is a new group and push. So what I'm trying to get to the listeners is, you know, in our last session, we were talking about, hey, we're winning a lot of the other wars. And this is a war. What we are seeing here now is we are seeing a push in the other direction. And it's getting bigger. So I'm excited about that. And so I want to go a little bit more. You know, I don't have a lot of slides. I just wanted to kind of answer some questions on this too. But so this is a couple of reports that have been coming out. And this is a series. And some of these comments and information that comes out, I'm talking like this all the time, but I had to kind of take off who it comes from.
Right.
And the only reason I had to do that is because, you know, we have conversations, but again, I respect their privacy. So what's interesting is we found that the natural, this is talking about the natural antibody. So this is something that's been coming out with the Omicron, or what do we call this thing now? Omicron, right?
Yeah.
Is that the,
I don't know.
Whatever. But anyway.
We might be on to the next one.
So we have herd immunity coming out. This is like a mild case. They tried to push this as a big deal. But so people that have not been vaccinated, okay, now I want to talk about them for a moment. The ones that were successful in not getting vaccinated, what's happening is now with this new variant coming around, you've almost become completely immune to COVID. Almost completely. Now, we already knew that the numbers, you know, it was like 99.672% of you actually, you know, a fatality from COVID, and the children was non-existent. We know that. But now what you're seeing is, now you're seeing other parts of the medical community saying exactly what we've been trying to say. So I consider this a win. That's why I'm really kind of excited and why we're doing another one. So anyway, so they start to break this thing down. They say, hey, 89% of this group, 9% of at least 13 months after the infection. So what they're doing here in this section, they're doing two things. They're talking about, okay, listen, the argument with the booster originally, remember? So you got the vaccine, like, well, wait a minute, why is everybody getting, well, you need a booster. But so then now the statistics are showing, not only are the boosters killing people in the vaccine, killing people, every time you got that booster, you continually ruined the antibodies and your ability to fight this infection. Right. That being said, I want to add one more thing. You were talking about the retesting.
Right.
Remember we were, the retesting, if you were like these people, like if you were to think like these people, you have two more things that would be happening. And this is, I don't want to start this big conspiracy thing, but you have to sometimes start thinking like them. How do I want to kill everybody? Right?
Yeah.
So if I want to kill everybody, I would be using that testing to be capturing DNA information because it's going to be linked to an individual. And I'd also be wanting to use those swabs for delivering nanotechnology because the nanotechnology and the swab, what do? They go all the way back into your deep nasal septum, which goes right past, as we've said a million times over, the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
So if I was mean like them and had no heart, that's exactly what I would be doing. But more importantly, I would be capturing that data
for
the next round of a COVID variant that it could wipe out 80% of the population like that.
Yeah.
Done.
That's what they're doing, I believe. Look,
so
I mean, why, what, the whole thing... And at the end of the day, what are the tests for? They knew the test didn't work. Mullis, who created the PCR test, said flat out from way before they even started, this isn't for this. Fauci knew that. They knew that. That all the people that recommended it, Fauci's wife, you know, Burks, all the people on that original group that picked the PCR test knew it was a false positive test. And yet there's still, I'm telling you that the Biden administration is spending billions of dollars of taxpayer money sending out tests that they know. The CDC own website says it does not work because it picks up basically anything. Yeah.
I don't get that.
Why are the American people allowing this kind of expenditure on something that's fraudulent? But like I said, New York City is a captured city with a lot of people that are brainwashed and totally think CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, and Washington Post can never ever say anything that's not right. But I'm telling you, there's people waiting online in 12 degree weather for hours to get a test that.
Or cars,
CDC
right?
Has already said does not work. It's a false positive test.
I got to tell you, Mel, I find it extremely surprising that when I look at, when I'm looking at some of my networks and I'm talking to some people and they're sending me videos in Romania where you've got 2 million people at the Capitol saying enough. And, you know, everywhere around the world except for here, to your point, is... You're not seeing that. No. You know, we are seeing pushback in the legal system. So maybe some of this is, okay, listen, and Trump was brilliant. He had all these vacancies, right? So what does he do? He fills them all and then he leaves the office. But maybe that's part of the strategy. So say, listen, we don't need to do the protest because we know that they're going to say, oh, it's the rioters are from Trump, you know, like the January 6th.
PM. Right. Like that. Yeah, I know. That's what that was about. Right. But funny because Don Limon told everyone that doing your own research makes you an idiot.
Yes, so I know.
Stop talking, Michael, please. Already. Don Limon said that doing our own research makes us idiots. And half the people in New York City agree.
I got to tell you something. I heard that. And actually, I also think I heard a section of that on X22, which I love. Right. he's my end of the night.
Me too.
He mentioned that, but. So look at this. This is interesting from one of the medical doctors sent this thing out as part of a response to this part here. I want to show you two parts here that I think is really cool. So the CDC refuses to accept that antibodies as a demonstration of natural immunity to COVID. They insist that an eligible person getting vaccinated regardless prior to the infection. So what they're saying is they don't want to acknowledge that the antibodies are there and they're there. So the thing that I find kind of interesting about that is the whole idea of our understanding of this, the science and the immune system is your body develops antibodies to protect yourself from everything. So they said, oh, this isn't working because everybody's sick. And so they want to jab everybody. But what's interesting is now the data is showing you the exact opposite. And so now the studies are really coming out. And that's why you're seeing this. See this part here with the CDC and this whole thing? You're seeing doctors push back saying, screw you guys. You're not doing what you're there for. And that's why you're seeing now everybody realizes that this is coming out. So they'll say, oh, the CDC lied to us all along. We had no idea. Well, that's going to come out later too. But
right. Well, what, don't forget, the CDC is very much funded by Big Pharma and Gates Foundation and others that are involved in the entire creation of the pandemic and the pandemic or what, the vaccines. They're all in cahoots. All these people belong in prison. But I got to tell you, Michael, this is very interesting because how we talked yesterday in the show about going forward after all of this comes out, these doctors, the ones that stood up the whole time and have been demonized and their lives destroyed. And I just saw another doctor, I think it was in Maine, got her license taken. She's gotten fined and other things for giving out ivermectin. On the other side of this, these doctors for the CDC that are saying they refuse to look at natural immunity, they got to go. This is these people are criminals.
Yeah, you know, you made a comment yesterday that I've been kind of thinking about. You put things in my head. You if you really wanted to mess with me, you could. But something that you said that's I've been kind of thinking about, and I lost sleep over it, so it's your fault. But you mentioned this comment about, you know, some of these doctors didn't have a choice because, you know, they were going to lose their license or they're going to lose their jobs. And I don't agree with that philosophy. It's not you. I'm saying I don't agree with that philosophy. And this is my opinion.
Right.
Is you have to at one point stand up for what's right.
Right.
And you have to figure out, like, sometimes in my job, companies used to hire me when I was in as a consultant. Pharmaceuticals would come in and say, hey, listen, guys, I got to get from here to here. How can I get there? And my job sometimes was how to get them from point A to point B with the least amount of risk in the most efficient way. But that's a really nice way of saying sometimes you help them skate through certain things, right? Or if they know they're being audited, I would guide them through the process to make sure that, now it's not safety, but other issues, I would make sure that it wasn't found. Now, what I mean by that, I want to be clear. I don't want a lot of hate mail. During an FDA audit, when the FDA comes in and they audit you, a critical finding or a warning letter is massive, has a massive impact against that company and the stockholders. And
you mean audit a drug, not audit in the financial sense. You mean they're
going to... No, I'm an auditor. I'm talking about the drug and the
right,
drug.
I just was reminding the audience because there's lots of talk of audits lately.
Yeah, I'm not one of the, I'm not that...
You mean a drug, that they're auditing a drug for efficacy and for the market.
Right. And so my criteria when these companies would ask me to come in and help them is first and foremost, this is I need to know exactly what we're dealing with here. So if you've got dirty laundry, I want to talk about it because I don't want to be sitting in front of an FDA auditor or an EMA, which is worse, and find out that you lied to me. Right. So but anyway, what happens in those cases is I try to guide them through from point A to point B without that liability coming through. And I was pretty successful on that. But now what you're going to see here coming through, going back to what we were talking about, is this stuff that's coming through now, they're going to turn on first the CDC, then they're going to turn on the FDA. Right. And Dr. Fakey's going to be in there somewhere. And I can't wait till that day. Ugh. But then the last thing what you're going to see is you're going to see a transition in this pharmaceutical industry based on true science, of the science that's coming out, the stuff that we've been talking about now for the last year and a half.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Did you see Fauci, I think 2 days ago? He's in Davos with the puppet masters right now. It's a virtual Davos, so he could be anywhere, but he's hanging with them. And he said that this pandemic has 5 stages and we're in stage 1. What? And then Bernie from Truth and Our TV like looked everywhere and he's like, there is no... This is not real. He's just saying this. This doesn't exist. There is no 5 stages. He looked everywhere. He's like, I'm still looking, but I'm pretty sure he's just making this up.
What he's trying to do is trying to lead people into another possible surge, right? Is if, let's say that we weren't winning, Okay. If we weren't winning, what I, like I've said, and if you listen to Bill Gates, he says, you think this virus was bad, wait till the next one. Right. So when you hear that, you're like, seriously? But think about this from his perspective. He still thinks he's ahead of the game.
Right.
He's so into himself that he still thinks that he's winning. Let's assume for a minute and let's pretend that they are winning. Then this next variant could be extremely difficult. And that's what they're trying to allude to is, remember, they wanted to draw this thing out.
If you listen at least till the 2022 election so they can cheat with drop boxes and mailing ballots. They can't let it go now.
Yeah, they needed that great reset. And that's one of the things I like about X22. He looks at it from a financial perspective.
Right, I know.
And many of what he does, and he does it brilliantly.
But well, you know, that's how he started out. He started out, he's a financial guy.
Yeah.
Before any of this, he was a financial guy.
Yeah.
And I like him a lot.
What I love about him is he's like you. He does his homework on this end of it. And but the whole, his thing is, hey, this was supposed to be drawn out for 10 years. They were going to wipe us out, put us in it. You know, that was the objective. And Dr. Fauci, I still think he believes that that's going to happen.
Well, you know what? At this point,
no choice.
Yeah, I remember that, you know, I have a good friend who's a psychiatrist and she was did a lot of stuff during the OJ trial. And she was saying, you know, some people, you know, how OJ would speak, some people can convince, like when OJ was saying, I didn't do it, or, you know, he wasn't there and all this. There comes a point where people can be so delusional and so manipulated in their own mind from their own mind that they actually believe what they're saying, even though everyone else knows that they're lying and it's wrong. They themselves. So right now, either Fauci's just flat out lying and trying to terrorize the world, or he knows he's caught and he's trying to prolong it, or he's at a point where he's so arrogant, so megalomaniac, so sociopathic that he truly believes what he's saying still. I mean, it's unclear, but wherever Fauci lies in this, he's right now the most dangerous person on the planet, in my opinion. Everything he's saying is harming people so badly, and everyone knows that it's... At this point, you know, also his big statement that he is science is the most disgusting. I saw a picture of him in his home office yesterday because, you know, Hollywood loves him and does photo shoots at his house. He's a giant portrait of himself.
No, he does not. Really?
Yes, he does. Yes. The guy, I don't know which level of delusional or evil, but it's ridiculous at this point. And again, people in New York City that I know think he's a hero. Still.
Well, again, this goes back to our original statement, and which is really nice that we got a little extra time today too. So, but what's happening here is people trusted this medical community, and you're seeing that the reason that this has been drawn out so long is so many people still refuse to believe it. And I think it's a combination of a couple things. First and foremost, if all the stuff that I talk about in my range, even the stuff that's outside of this smell, it challenges people's belief system.
Right.
And when you start questioning your belief system, like you just said, it is, you will refuse to see it because it requires you to do a whole paradigm shift of your whole belief of how everything, the world works.
Right.
You know, when I keep bringing this new science and I talk about this old science and different things. The reason that I push so hard on this is, first and foremost, they're holding it from us. But secondly, everything that we understand in our medical community and our sciences and our reality is not what we think it is. And so when we push hard and we push on the forefront and people challenge me, even some close friends of mine, they say, well, why are you doing this? I says, I'm not doing this because I want people to believe in aliens or you do or you don't. But what I want to do is I want to push the truth. That's all I care about. That's all you care about. So all this other noise and garbage, it's about the truth. And what's really encouraging right now is what I see is this stuff that I'm talking about in these slides here, in this one here, where what you're seeing, Mel, is you're seeing that push is now going the opposite direction.
I know.
We're starting to win and I'm excited.
Really important that you stay on top of that because, you know, I have this happening on all fronts. People really, really, honestly, at a point when we cannot give up and should not be divided. And as humanity, we have to fight back in a group, united, for humanity versus the puppet masters and their you know, entities or whatever they are, these 3,000, I always call them the Davos crew, but it's bigger than that. But the truth of the matter is that there is a lot good going on. And I want people to know that. And I'm glad that you're pointing it out on this front, the pushback. Yeah. And I think a big sign, a big red line has to be what, for whatever reason, and it's because of the European group that you're talking about, I believe, that Boris Johnson ended all COVID restrictions, all mandates, all vaccines, all that stuff, passport. It's because they're caught. And now they can't, there's too many people like you out there now. They never expected so many people, but there's too many people being fearless and taking the slings and arrows along the way to tell the truth. And this is about our health, but this is happening in the military right now. It's happening geopolitically. The whole Ukraine thing is unfolding. I've been saying to everyone, it's very important because that is Soros and Obama and everyone's hub for World War III, and they looted all their money. And I keep telling people, but like you're saying, the CDC is falling apart. And they're being called out. And Michael, you were also the first one, I have to say, I'm very lucky that you're on my show. You were the first one that said that there were really people behind the scenes that we weren't hearing about leaving the CDC and FDA in droves in the last 2.5 years because they didn't want any part of it. So those people too will have their day. And I think it's coming faster than people think. Also, these autopsies, maybe we'll talk about it next week. I'm starting to get people sending me autopsies of perfectly healthy, especially men, between like 17 and I think 35 that are dying at an alarming rate. When they open them up in the autopsy, all of them pretty much have heart issues that they did not have before they took the vaccines.
Well, and a big push of that also is a combination of things. Normally you wouldn't see an autopsy unless you suspect foul play.
Right. So somebody's doing these autopsies. Exactly.
That, so somebody on the back end is pushing that. Now, that could be a series of a couple things, too. It could be, for example, if I was a parent, well, I am a parent. If, God forbid, anything happened to my son,
right,
I would like, hey, you find out exactly what's going on here. There's no reason for that. And so what you're seeing is, I think you're seeing a push from the parents, a push from the medical community. And there's also this group from the beginning that they've said, hey, we're going to dig in and we're going to make this happen. And so what you're seeing is some of these autopsies also is normally the CDC and everybody would cover this up saying you're not doing it because there's the payoff. But then there's a group of doctors that are within that system that say, screw this, I'm not buying any of this. And they've kind of been quiet, but in the background, they're saying, you know what? This is my patient. I'd like to see an autopsy.
Right.
So there's a lot of really good people behind this.
I agree.
But, you know, the step down over in Europe, too, I think that also is not just from a medical perspective. I think also it's from a military perspective and a political perspective. I think you're seeing these step downs in the back down from a combination of things. The science is coming out in the truth. But then I also think that you're getting this push from first. And Trump said it all along. Hey, I can't do this on my own. I need you, your listeners. And then I think the other piece of that is I think these militaries who have been working along, now the attack is coming. That's what I believe.
I do too. And I said the whole time, it's a sting operation. Yeah. And we're in World War III and people don't realize it. And look, I feel very positive. I see everything popping right now. And it's a long game. And like that ship that you showed yesterday with the rats.
The rats.
Don't forget his name was on the side of it. Obama.
Yeah.
And don't forget his papers can be released very soon. They held them for 5 years. And the dum-dum Supreme Court, maybe not, rejected yesterday Trump's executive privilege as president for his paperwork, which we know he didn't write anything because he's not dumb like the other guys. But now we can see everyone's.
Now we can see Obama.
Lots of disclosure coming, I think.
Yeah, and it's all going to work against them. And
I know.
This COVID talk today and was just to kind of let everybody know on a positive note that it's come out. And I do want to ask, if I can, take a few minutes and talk about some questions that have been coming in.
Go ahead.
Can I do that?
Sure. Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of questions and concerns about, hey, I've done the jab. Is there a method behind this? And can some of this stuff be undone? And I will say a couple things. There's not a definitive answer with regards to can the med vets do anything. So I will say that. I still believe, based on some of the people that I've been talking to, that there's a lot of people in the background that have been working on undoing this vaccine. Now, you're compromised with regards to your ability to fight the COVID. This Omicron is going to help even those that have been vaccinated. Now, so there's a good part to that, right? Okay. So it's not like if, let's say, God forbid, you took the vaccine and I didn't, and if that variant came out, yes, you're going to be at risk. But the Omicron is going to build up your boost that up at least a little bit. Right. But every time you take that jab, your ability to fight that continue to go down. And I know people, and I know you do, that they've taken every one of them. What is there now? 27 of them or whatever it is. I don't care. But my point is, there's still a good group of scientists on the back end and doctors that are trying to figure out how we can do this. But the key was, like I've said all along, is we need to understand what's in it, right? We needed to understand these missing pieces, because when people started looking at this, and what I wanted to avoid was the fear factor of, like, you know, all this stuff that they're saying and this stuff, and their head's going to explode and all this other stuff. We needed to sit down as a group of scientists and doctors and look at this and say, okay, what are we up against? That's first, what is it? Then the next step is, okay, now we know what it is. How does it work? Then how can we kill it?
Right.
So that's the science, you know, very simply laid out. So I don't think we still know all the pieces of what's in it, especially when you're talking about gene editing and when you're talking about modifying DNA.
Right.
When you're starting to talk about that, it gets a little tricky. So I believe, though, that there are people that do know what's there. And I think as soon as that information is out to the rest of the scientists, the good ones, the right, smart ones, the ones that are way smarter than me, they're going to look at this and they're going to look at it and go, oh, my God, right? Now we know what to do. And so
they may use— Well, that's part of the holding back of all the information. That's criminal.
Part of it. And then what they're going to do is then they're going to say, just like always, and what I've said all along is, first we know what we're up against, and we can use the same science against them. That's why I push all this other science is, hey, let's look up, first understand what we're up against. We're 50 years behind the growth curve.
Right.
But the difference is, once that information comes out, you're talking about millions of people will be looking at it. And I got people that are, and I know I'm kind of on a little pedestal today. You got me fired up. But I get a lot of people that are coming in and they're not scientists. They say, hey, Mike, I looked at your energy thing and they send me pictures of things that they've designed that are like natural generators. So it doesn't matter whether you have a science degree or not. What happens is synergy that we're going to create is going to be amazing. And so guys, keep your head up and stay hopeful, because the data is showing all that we've been saying. Right. So we are winning, and I know we get frustrated looking around here. And look at me, I'm moving to a sunny state. I'm done with the winters. But
hey, we're moving as soon as we can too, trust me.
Right. And so what my word to the people that are concerned about, especially the ones with the children, I get a lot of tough emails to read. And it some of these things, it bothers me hearing what's going on. But I think if we first understand what it is, let's save our children first. And then let's go after the rest of us. Any parent would sacrifice themselves for their children. I know Rob would do the same thing as I would.
Yeah.
I'd give up my life in a heartbeat to save our kids.
Right.
So keep pushing, keep sending us information. I get a lot of people sending videos and different things too.
Okay. I do too, but you know, it's really, this is the difference between, I think, you and I and a lot of other people out there is, I love my subscribers. I'm so lucky. And, but they're so, I have a very, very, very smart audience. So I get so much information that's fascinating. And it takes me a while to go through it. I know it does you too, but, if so many brilliant people have reached out, you know, from all over, and like you said, and this is the most important thing in going forward, because I've done a lot of looking into the Poison Ivy League, I call it, and the sister schools, because I went to one of them, which is not the Ivy League. I went to NYU, but now, looking back on the political side that I'm trying to figure out all the way back from, you know, the beginning of communism taking over America, the UN, everything. A lot of the people that were involved went to NYU. I mean, were professors there, you know, at the very top, obviously it's in New York City and all that. But like you and everyone, it's like, it doesn't matter where you went to school or even if you have a degree, none of this is relevant. Everything can be learned by yourself in your own way, however you learn at this point. So I just know that it doesn't matter anymore. We were so fooled to think that these degrees, most of the people that went to these Ivy League schools were born into it or got there in different ways that, you know, aren't really legitimate. I mean, does anyone believe that, you know, Hunter Biden and Pelosi's son or should have gone to Yale Law School? I mean, what are we talking about? So I just want to encourage people. It doesn't matter what your degree is or what you did or who you were at all. It really doesn't matter. And don't let these idiots at CNN say, if you do your own research, you're an idiot and be quiet and sit down because Don Limon says that he's smarter than you. Well, you know what? We're really learning everything that we've been told and that the people put as authority figures because they have these degrees or they're on CNN or wherever, it's all unfolding. Go find your passion and make a difference. That's what I say.
Yeah, the one thing that is going to be interesting when some of this new science technology comes out is how we're going to use that to restructure our whole medical. And we didn't talk about this part of it. You remember yesterday we kind of went into this long rebuilding thing and. Again, you put this in my head too. So we can't do too many of these in a day, right? But the other part of that is the medical community needs to completely rebuild. And what's going to happen is, I think first and foremost, you're going to see first the insurance companies are going to get wiped out. I think you're going to see what I think is going to happen with society in general is people are going to get out of those cities because of the new technology that can expand out. They're right. going to see people now that are going to look at being more remote, having their own resources, their own energy at that point coming through. Now, with regards to the medical communities, and I'm going to use med beds as an example, if I could. So you have the med beds and there's a specific requirement that they need to have in them. So I'm going to step outside of the med beds for a moment. If you have the, let's say the homeless veterans is a thing of mine, as you know, and I talk about it all the time. So even if you're going to use that med bed, first and foremost, you have to be able to be ready to use a med bed. So what you're talking about, and there's a bunch of people that I've talked to about this, and I will be dialing them back in, is you need support structures to those med beds. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a medical practitioner. Now, those degrees of the good people will be of value to a certain degree because they understand how the body will respond to certain things, right? But you have this other piece to this that we've always overlooked. It's creating a transition, for example, a care facility. You have these people, and I'm not talking about.
No, I agree.
You know, when you get, you look at the homeless, the vets when they come in here. It's bigger than just giving them a house and money and letting them go. They have to get a new education.
Everything.
They have to come. Right. There's a whole part, but I'm saying, Mel, the medical part of this is these type of transitional cares to get these people into them both before and after the med beds, right? So you have to have this community that's going to support that med bed. And Hershey, Pennsylvania, by the way, is a perfect example of this. So in Hershey, Pennsylvania, they have it's an oncology for children, children's hospital for cancer. But what is so amazing about that city, not just the chocolate, by the way, Hershey, Pennsylvania, that's where it comes from. Hershey built this hospital for children with cancer. But what is remarkable, Mel, and I don't know if you ever get a chance to go there because I know you're going all
around
the world.
I go by it all the time. I usually stay in, that's one of my stops. I usually stay in Harrisburg, about 20 minutes away when I'm en route.
Let's take the chocolate out of it because I love dark chocolate. But what that whole community surrounds that hospital. It's not the other stuff. It's so when you go into that hospital, do I have time for a quick story on this? Do I have enough time? A few minutes? All right. So one of my first times coming into that hospital. So I'm meeting with the chief medical officer for the hospital and a really nice guy. And so he's giving me a tour of this facility and they have these care dogs that come in. And in order for the care dogs to come in that they can play with these children, they have to go through like obedience training. These things have to go through a washing cycle. There's a lot to do, but these owners, they're committed to this. So they go through all of this training, they take their dogs through and they have cycles and rotations. Well, I'm meeting with the doctor and this big, huge horse poodle comes in, right? The doctor gets down on the floor, is like playing with this kid and this dog right in the middle of the facility. And Well, my point is the whole community has surrounded that hospital to make the lives of those children that much better. And that's what I love about that facility. And the reason I wanted to bring that story up is that's what's going to have to happen in the medical community around the rest of the United States and the world moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's the vision that we need.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel that way. I talk about it a lot with survivors of child trafficking and SRA and stuff, that it's not or sex trafficking at all. It's that you can't just pull them out of it. You need a transition, three, six months that they're out of the whole realm to reprogram, honestly, themselves, reconfigure, but also it's the health and the mental, right? That the healing is, and the internal healing, because they have to heal themselves, just like you're talking about with an amendment, that healing process. But we need facilities all over this country. They shut down all the mental hospitals, you know, and that never was rebuilt. It was the supportive housing is kind of what you're talking about. And I talk about it for the children and the sex trafficking survivors and SRA survivors. It's a process. And hopefully going forward, when we talk about the money and the med beds and all that, that there's a, that we start really realizing that healing is a process. You can't pull somebody off the street or a veteran off the street and or anyone out of a trafficking ring and expect that in 2 weeks, they're going to be fine. It's not true. You have to start over. So we'll work on that going forward. I know a big part of what you want to do with this is help the homeless veterans, especially the ones that are wounded and injured and mentally injured. So we're going to keep working towards that, because I also want to do that with survivors of SRA and stuff. Have locations where they can go separate from the world and get away from their whole, pull them out of their whole past and thinking, and just help them reprogram themselves from the inside out to deal with the future. And it takes time. And we're going to figure out how to fund that kind of thing, I tell you.
Well, Mel, I want to take this last minute, and I want to thank you for everything that you've done. I listened to you guys traveling all around the country, and you and Rob have committed the last couple of years of your life going around trying to do the right thing. And I know your listeners love you, because when I was you came to the Boston one, and I was sitting in the in the stands, right? And that was kind of crazy how they canceled the venue and you guys had to move, and your fans were there, right? And so I want to thank you guys, because you two people don't realize the level of commitment that you have here and the sacrifice where our shows cancel, and you're like, because you guys go in so many time zones, you're like, oh my god, I'm an hour off or whatever. But the problem is you've committed yourself so much, and so I want to thank you two.
Thank you.
You give us the opportunity to do the right thing, and people don't realize how much you two have sacrificed. So I hope at the end of this,
but it's been a journey. Like you said, you're doing it for God. I'm doing it for God. But I'll tell you what, if somebody calls me and they say, I really want to start a group, I don't know how, I don't know what to do. Or like my mom started a group. Even if it's 20 people, 60 people, wherever, if we're on the road and we're going to pass by there, I'll go stop by if that's going to make more people come. I don't know. But if I can do it, and I say, like, I'm going to be in West Palm Beach or in, where was I? Santa Fe or wherever I am. And there's a small We the People group or a small group of, constitutional conservatives or whatever. And they need some people to come, and I can help them build their group, then I'm going to show up, because honestly, this is about we the people uniting, regardless of any of the nonsense that they divide us with. Once you get in a room with a bunch of people, be it 20 or 10,000, and I've been in both, it's a magic. Yeah. Something happens, like you said, it's the energy. And that's also what we're talking about with healing facilities, healing communities. It's the energy of all the people that fighting for good and God and trying to save our country from being, we are captured right now, but from being ended. You know, it's, you know, the fallen empire is really the goal of the puppet masters. And you know what? You and I both, we've put a lot on the line, but it's all been worth it. And I believe on the other side, people keep saying, we're not only getting started.
We're on the 10-yard line. We got 90 yards to go. I mean,
in the good sense, but it's going to be a lot of work. And like I said, anyone that's starting the group, let me know if you need some help. I'm happy to find help either locally or if I'm around. But you know what? We really need to unite. United we stand, divided we fall, like I said yesterday, more than ever. And it's got nothing to do with the color of your skin or anything. It's got to do with what's inside of you. And that's the best part about America, is I believe we're going to save it. But we got to get together and we got to join forces, and everyone's going to find their gift and their potential and use it for good. And we got this, right?
Yeah, we do. We do. And hey, if there's any of those sessions that are coming up that I can join you, you let me know.
Well, now that we're both going to be in Florida, you'll be getting a call.
I, you know what? Absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, when I was in that one with Boston and Tracy came with me,
right.
What was amazing was not just the energy. I loved seeing the people, how excited they were. When you got up and you started talking, it was crazy. Everybody's off their feet and they're crazy. And it wasn't a huge crowd. It didn't have
that,
to be.
That crowd's perfect. I love that size. You know, that's why Patriot huge. Street Fighter ones are really fun, because he goes everywhere and they're like, the crowd size can be like 30 or 1,000, 2,000. And it doesn't matter. It's such a fun. People are so pumped just to be there. And it's really, those are really fun events. I love those.
Yeah. So I think
there'll be more with us ahead. And thank you so much, Michael, as always. And thank you for keeping everyone's hopes up and having people know good things are happening. And you've always said there's more good guys than bad out there. And I believe that's starting to really reveal itself. Thank you so much, buddy. I'll see you in a few days. Okay. Thanks.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye-bye.